your thoughts on Laviolette. Let's start there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know David Poile takes this kind of stuff pretty seriously. He doesn't do this very often. He goes on long, long runs with coaches. So, a few years removed from a Stanley Cup final, team not performing the way he feels it should, maybe some performances from guys not getting certain things out of certain players that they feel he should, and special teams that are near the bottom of the league. That often can reflect, that can often be kind of the, when things already aren't going great and you have those stats hanging out there as well, it can often be the straw that breaks the camel's back. So, you know, David Poile doesn't do this very often. And I think he's pretty measured in his approach to things. So it's tough to question it too much, I would say. You guys?
Yeah, I mean, I had this team doing better than they have, right? And you look at some of the offensive production by some of their players, collectively not bad, but some individuals. And I'm not overly impressed with their individual production. So yeah. What is it? Is it some apathy after a pretty good run, I guess, as a group? Is it coaching? It's hard to say when we're this far away, Sager, but, I think that, Duchesne, it was signing that contract. I don't know that you're thrilled with his numbers as they sit and I'm quickly trying to pull them, but I look at 9 goals and 19 assists. I guess it's not bad, but, you're maybe looking for a little more juice out of him.
Oh, for sure. No question. And I think, I think the thing about Lavi, guys, is I think he is still pretty old school. And I think I think he'd be a tough guy to play for. I think he could make things really tough when things aren't going well. I think he's older school. And you look around the league and some of these, coaches that have come in and gotten better results when taking over for maybe guys that are a little bit older school. And look at what's happened in Calgary. Look what's happened in Toronto. As we'll see the Leafs tonight. I don't know. I think maybe it's kind of to the point where these guys that come from, an older school way of coaching, there has to be an adjustment or they're just not going to survive. And I'm not in there every day. I don't know whether Lavi made that adjustment overall or not. I just do know, I've heard hear some things out of Nashville about, him being hard on guys at times and being an old school tough coach to play for at times. And you just wonder if that's still going to be successful in today's NHL. And if managers aren't recognizing it's a different formula and your guys need to be either able or willing to change or understanding that it's necessary.
Ryan Rochelle joined us, breaking down the world of the Oilers. Mike Smith's play in the last couple of games, has that re-energized your belief in him as the 1B option for this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like Mike Smith is a battler. It was funny, I was teaching at Nate today, and one of my students is a huge Calgary Flames fan, and he was talking about last year and how Smith was so good for them in the playoffs. Like, he was good for them when they needed him, and his regular season was a bit of a mess, but he battled when it mattered. And, I think Mike Smith, there were a lot of questions. I mean, we were talking on this show about whether they needed to trade for another goalie or not, and his numbers just went in the tank, and he was being severely questioned. Mike's, and then he has some questionable comments in a post-game interview talking about how there's certain things he can't control, and you're going, oh, boy. But Mike Smith is competitive. He doesn't always say the right thing, but he's competitive, and he doesn't like when things go bad. He doesn't like losing. I think he's got a lot of pride and confidence, and I think those two performances were back-to-back games where he kind of said screw you to everybody who was ready to write him off this year. I think he had two really good performances and obviously earned the trust of his coach as he's sitting here in net against the Leafs tonight again.
Ryan Rochelle from TSN. Yeah, first time he'll start 3 games in a row this season. And Dave Tippett said, hey, this is Mikko Koskinen's healthy now. Tonight was based on how well Smith played against Boston. And it's not just going to be Smith. The Maple Leafs have really owned the Oilers since McDavid made his first appearance against them in February of 2016. He had 5 points. But since then, he has 6 points in 7 games. The Oilers have lost all 7 and have really been dominated in most of those games. They will have to find a way to play consistently smart with the puck tonight, or Toronto's offense will just take advantage of
them. Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's always billed to be such a big game. And you always feel like, oh, man, there's going to be big performances and all these great players and everything. And it tends to be a little quieter on that front, It tends to be some bit players here and there. I mean, Connor had the 1 big game. It'll be interesting to see if they can kind of rise to the moment and if one of the big lines or one of the star duos vastly outplays the other tonight and somebody really grabs this thing. It'll be interesting to see. know, Connor going back to Toronto is always interesting. It's just it's such an intense spotlight for him, and of course he's always used to the spotlight, but it's different there. So yeah, we'll pay close attention to him tonight and see how he and Leon respond, and if they can kind of distinguish themselves and really stand out like they can some games.
Shager, you know, they went back to more defensive pairings we may be more familiar with, and specifically the Nurse and the Ethan Bear partnership, and then Larson and his wingman. Is that kind of where, you know, what is the saying that water finds its own level? Is that the level for the Oilers' D pair now, at least as far as the top four is concerned?
Well, I mean, I think it's the pairings that they've had the most success with, mm-hmm. and more Nurse and Ethan Bear together. They were really good earlier on this year, and Ethan Bear had some stumbles here. He had a difficult 3 weeks probably where his game really came back down to earth, and he seemed to, a lot of those really smart, heady plays that he was making, he was having a little more trouble finding, a little more injury, or a little more mistake prone. So I felt like they kind of had to figure out a way to insulate him a little bit, and I think they wanted to use Oscar Klefbom to try and do that with his steady game. But I think this is where the best chance for it all to click sits, with the way that they have it right now. And it's just a matter of Ethan Bear trying to stabilize his game and get back to the quality they had earlier on this year that makes these pairings make sense.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shocker, the other thing, the orders are getting two things. Number one, James Neal, who sounds like having talked to some guys, might have battled through a broken toe for a bit, and maybe that was part of his struggles, but his 5-on-5 play has really picked up here as of late, and the second line, albeit for a short time, has looked quite good. I thought Drysdale played his best game in a long time in Boston. Not only was he good offensively, but he was grumpy and physical.
Yep. No, he was throwing the body around. You know, he bombed into a couple of guys. He was, you know, when he gets a little ornery out there, his compete level goes up. Thought he was decent at both ends of the ice. I thought he competed really hard. I mean, I said it last week. I'll echo it again tonight. This top six that the Oilers are icing right now is as good a combination of six forwards as they've had in several years in their top six, just the way it sits right now. Now, Yamamoto's playing well, and he's given them three really good games, and he needs to maintain that level. But this top six, as it sits, with James Neal playing the way he is 5-on-5, Yamamoto playing the way he is, and Leon and Connor on separate lines, it looks like it can be a pretty competitive and dangerous top six, forwards 1 through 6. So it's a good dynamic they have going right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think the one play that kind of I saw that I liked it was when Drysdale goes back to get the puck in his own, in his corner. He makes a play, and I can't remember who was trying to run him, and he just knocks the guy right down.
Curly.
Was it Curly?
Curly, yeah.
Curly, yeah. You know what? And I just, to me, it's like, you know what? No. I'm not going to take that hit. And he just launched him off and just kept playing. And that is, I think Leon has to play with a little bit of nasty. Now, I'm not talking Wendell Clark, Brad Marchand nasty. I'm just talking a little bit of like, you know what? I think I'm better than you, and I'm not going to be allowed to be pushed around. Is that a fair assessment when he's kind of rolling, Shager?
So what I liked better in his last game, Struts, because we've seen that attitude out of him on different nights, but what he'll do is he'll swing his stick at people.
Yeah.
Right, he'll get grumpy, he won't like the way things are going, he'll get frustrated and he'll slash somebody, or he'll swing a stick, or he'll take a penalty out of frustration. What I liked in that game is he threw a few hits. Mm-hmm. He threw his shoulder into people. Like, he's a big, really strong, super steady guy that is hard to knock off the puck, and I imagine wouldn't be a lot of fun to have hit you. So I agree with you, because it was more he was playing the game physically, not in a frustrated swing at his stick kind of way. And I liked the way he did that last game compared to in the past when it's just been more, you know, frustrated, kind of taking penalties and stuff. And he'd get knocked down, he'd get up, he'd just take a swing at the back of somebody's shins. Like, he did that a lot instead of just putting his shoulder down into people.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, breaking down the world of the NHL. And, you know, I like Gaetan Aas's line, and I like Riley Sheahan's line.
Yeah.
I just do not like them as, quote unquote, one of them as a third line.
No.
Am I just being grumpy or Shager? And if
no. No, they need a third line center, bud. I've been saying it for a month and a half, 2 months. They need a third line center so that they have a really good third line.
Yeah.
It's the biggest need on this team right now is a third line center to go in there and give them a legitimate third line that when you're playing against good teams, you can count on them. Like, imagine, so take, on any given night, two of the best three players on what the third line is right now and throw Pageau between them.
Yeah.
And now you're putting a different look of a line out there, aren't you? Because the top six, you know, they can find it. They can find it. They've got some guys. It's that third line center position that this team is really weak at.
And it's I feel at times I'm being unfair on Haas and Shen because they're doing what they can, but
they're fourth liners.
They're miscast. And if 100%. You can and if you can add, you know, if you put those guys in a spot where they can be put properly, I think that it's and not that they're drowning now, but you know that's just I think the word that we've heard Ken Holland use is depth. And it's just not there as far as
their scoring depth has actually been good.
I know, but as far as tilting the ice, like they have two fourth lines right now.
They do.
I feel
so. Imagine the mix they have right now, and I keep using Pageau. Let's just say it's him.
Sure.
So let's just say someone in the top six falters. Let's say Yamamoto does a little bit, and you go, okay, you know what? Let's move him up onto the right side on the second line, and now you know that in spot duty, Sheahan or Haas. They can handle that spot. It's not ideal. And now look at the way you've just beefed up your top six and the extra skill you've put into that because centers can play wing. Wingers can't play center.
Yeah.
And that's why if this team adds a third-line center at the deadline that has some skill but can play a two-way game, it gives them so much versatility in their top nine and a better look on the third line that I think they desperately need.
Yeah, I still don't believe they need a. I'm not trading assets to get a
you
center.
Want winger.
I want a proven scoring top six winger because that's what this team needs.
Yeah, and that's I completely respect that opinion. I agree that they need that, but I think
although I guess you could
I think
you
a
could
third line center is easier to get. I think there's a better chance you can make a hockey trade for one that has contract. You don't need to necessarily just get a rental. I think you can add that piece without having to mortgage too much of the future if you get creative about it. I think they're easier to find in a hockey deal than a Taylor Hall.
And I'm all about the hockey deal. I just anything that's a short-term solution to me is
Is there anybody you guys have as realistic options for a third-line center that's not a rental?
Well, now you got me scrambling on the web.
That's part of the problem. It's not that easy. You have to comb some of the teams that are near the bottom of the stack.
Yeah. Like LA doesn't really have one.
No.
Right?
Right.
I don't
think
Fairley
would be the target there, right?
To
be
he's
winger.
A winger. Yeah. Anaheim doesn't really have one.
No. Well, Anaheim's got the rental. Who's is it? Grant that's in Anaheim.
Yeah, he's hurt though, right?
He's banged up right now.
He got banged up right after and he's kind of, and he's on kind of the best run of his life. Good for him. It's an awesome story. But, the one guy that probably makes the most sense is Athanasiou, right? Because he can play wing and center. Yeah. If need be, he's probably a better winger, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I think he'd cost you a boatload, though. I think that I think Detroit would want a lot. So you would have to try and get the price down and figure it out. But, yeah, that's a player that can put up some points, can play either position. Ken Holland has a history with, so whether he'd be interested in him or not, based on they had some difficulty with him, right? He had some contract issues, and, whether he had a bit of growing up to do or they needed to appreciate him more, whatever the case was, there were a few bumps along the way, but I agree. I think he's a good player. We're not – let me get back from vacation, and then we'll dig a little deeper into who it should be. But if you want to just have a conversation about needs – I'm just going to respectfully disagree with you, Gregs, and maintain what I've been saying, which is that a third-line center is realistic, attainable, and will help them tremendously.
Well, I don't discount it would help them, but and that's fine. You could do that first, but then you're probably trading Nugent Hopkins to get the scoring winger.
I wouldn't do that. Why would you do that? You're just subtracting from your top six to add the player to your top six.
But do you think he's a good winger?
Nugent Hopkins?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's a top six player that's on a reasonable contract that you're on a team where you absolutely cannot subtract any top six forwards to add anything. Because, what's the guarantee the guy you're getting is going to produce any more than he can or would? And he can play center, which is hugely valuable. So if either Connor or Leon get hurt, you're not down a top two center. I wouldn't move Nugent Hopkins for a scoring winger.
Well, let me ask you this then. So what are you prepared to sign Nugent Hopkins for next when his contract's up?
Oh, boy.
Because let me just paint this picture. Are you going to sign him for 6 or 7 years at, let's call it, he's not going down. So is he going up to 7? 7.5. You know, like, and
yeah.
So I'm trying to look ahead and say, okay, what is realistic with Nugent Hopkins, and what does he offer? Is there a trade that we made sooner than later to try to just change the look, maybe get younger guys a little more term on his deal. Maybe save a little bit of money on the cap. Maybe get something extra, Nuge, in it for a player, and then something else. Like, and I guess these I'm just throwing ideas around here, but yeah. I think you got to look forward down the line.
Yeah, I mean, look at the situation. Like, if teams aren't sure if they can re-sign him or not, you're going to have trouble pulling that kind of value out in a trade next year. Like, teams are going to want to be careful about giving up too many assets for a guy they're only going to have under contract for a short period of time, even if it's a full season of them, like if they did it this year or the off season or wherever. I just think you need to be careful about that. Nugent Hopkins, while he isn't producing at the pace they would like this year, I just think he is what this team needs. They need guys that can play with skilled players. They need guys that can... that have experience. They don't want to get necessarily younger in the skill department. They're already young enough in the skill department. Nugent Hopkins has experience. He doesn't have enough playoff experience, but that'll come. They've stuck with him for this long. They've resisted trading him for the defenseman for this long. I think when they hit the playoffs, they'll want to have him. So they've got other assets. You got to deal from a position of strength, and scoring forwards is not a position of strength. So you're talking about a draft pick if you're willing to move your first. You're talking about some defensemen. Those are more your areas where I could see the Oilers improving themselves trading from.
Shogger, we will chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, sounds good. Actually, Greg's, I'm on vacation. But
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, beat yeah. a pigeon. Jeez. We'll talk to you when you get
vacation.
Back.
Do you ever work
Jeez.
Anymore? Like Connor Halley.
I know. I'll send you guys lots of pictures. I hear the weather's going to be great here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Have fun. Just keep your shirt on in the pictures you send us, please. Thank you.